Louise, good morning.
Good morning, Phil.
Thanks very much for joining me. Now, firstly, how does phoenixing work?
Well, your description was spot on, Phil. Phoenixing is essentially killing off a company, and then you rise out of the ashes and move forward and establish a company, perhaps with a slightly different name or completely different name, and keep going with your activities. But by extinguishing that original company structure, you can leave your creditors, your employees, the tax office, others out of pocket, because you're attempting really to kill off the liabilities that you have with that company. And it's a particular problem that we see a lot in the construction industry, but it is a problem across the economy generally. And it's absolutely illegal. The Australian Institute of Company Directors is delighted to see the government come forward with a comprehensive package around how we can strengthen our anti-phoenixing laws, because we, of course, want to see directors who are engaging in this practice have the book thrown at them.
Mm. Well, you said that it's particularly common in things like construction, but it is all over the economy. Just how common is it, and where exactly are we seeing it? And further than that, can you unpack a little bit of these effects that it does have on the economy?
Well, there are differing estimates, but it certainly has an impact in the multi-millions of dollars across the economy. One of the problems is that it can be hard to find and prove phoenixing activity. So it could be perhaps a little more widespread than some of the different estimates show, but it's definitely a multi-million dollar cost to the economy. And what it is unscrupulous criminals, essentially, people who are seeking to subvert the law, who set up companies to perhaps attract financing or start operations. And when things start going wrong, or perhaps they've had this scheme in mind from the beginning, they will then seek to shut that corporate structure down and attempt to, as I say, resuscitate, take their activities forward under a new corporate structure. But unfortunately, the debts and the obligations of that initial company will be left with the bankrupt or dead entity. And that's a problem, because if you're the tax office, for example, you might not have had tax paid. If you're a creditor that's been supplying that company and it goes bankrupt and out of business, then you won't get any of that money back. And worst case scenario, if you're an employee, your employee entitlements may not be paid. There is a legislative scheme that operates to meet minimum employee entitlements, and one of the concerns is that some of these phoenixing operations are a particular drain on the cost of that scheme at the moment. So it's definitely not happening at the top level of the economy. It's not absolutely ruining the economy. It's not that substantial, but it is a significant problem. And because it's hard to prove the case, and because obviously it's criminal conduct, we absolutely want to see as many responses as we can that would target that illegal behaviour, and, as I say, throw the book at those directors of entities that are seeking to subvert the law and phoenix their companies.
Mm. Well, in saying that, it's quite hard to detect and to enforce. Now, one of the potential solutions that I believe are coming up is this new director identification number. How would a director identification number work, and how would it stop illegal phoenixing of companies?
Well, we think the director identification number is a great idea for a number of reasons. At the moment, if you're a company director, you register your name and other personal details with ASIC. But if you're trying to track or trace someone who might be engaged in illegal phoenixing activity, perhaps they use their middle name sometimes and not their middle name, or slightly different spelling. So there can be a bit of detective work in trying to track down whether the same people are engaged. If we had a director identification number, it would be almost like a PIN number for directors, if you like. You'd be able to see quite clearly that individual. It's just an identifier, and see if their conduct is coming up in lots of failing companies, for example, but certainly you'd be able to track them a lot more easily. And we think that's a great initiative. It's got bipartisan support. It's recommended by the academics that are working on measures of research around phoenixing, and it would take some of the subjectivity out of that personal information. And if the government systems work, if ASIC systems can work and speak to each other and speak to the tax office and others, having that identification number should really help tie together a picture of whether there are any individuals that are popping up, and then enforcement can target those individuals who are doing the wrong thing. It would also actually be a great step forward just in terms of general privacy concerns, because at the moment, the vast majority of directors in Australia are absolutely responsible, law-abiding individuals. And right now, to be a director of any kind of company, you need to provide this great degree of personal information. It would actually make a lot more sense to tie that director role to a director identification number, and perhaps we don't need so much of that personally identifying information, because it's not really working at the moment to track those phoenixing activities.
Yeah, well,
so really it is, I guess, it's a tag that will follow you wherever you go, and it will speak ideally across the government systems. What we want to see is an investment in those systems and a real focus on enforcement action when we see directors engaging in phoenixing. That's the key to really making this package a success.
Mm. Well, it does, as well as speaking to accountability, as you said, it does also seem to be a very practical step forward in just sort of cataloguing and databasing people. If you've just tuned into The Daily this morning, we're speaking with Louise Petchler, the General Manager of Advocacy at the Australian Institute of Company Directors. We're talking about what the government is trying to do to stop illegal phoenixing of companies by their directors. Now, Louise, we've just been speaking about the prospect of the director identification number and how effective you think that might be. Do you think that it will be enough to stop phoenixing from happening?
Well, it definitely won't be enough. There will always be people who try and subvert the law, but it should definitely be a step forward, as I say, if we get that investment in the systems and the different registers speaking to each other on the government side. But the AICD also believes, and we're pleased to see, that we need tougher penalties for directors that are shown to have engaged in phoenixing activity. And what we really want to see is, out of these other reforms that are going to be the subject of consultation, a real focus on, let's find these bad guys and let's take action against them. We're a bit concerned that some of the other measures that the government's proposing are very broad brush, and we don't want to see the regulators' efforts being wasted, if you like, on measures that catch all directors, the vast majority of whom are law-abiding and getting on with the job of governing their companies. We want to make sure these measures really do focus in on phoenixing directors. So tougher penalties is great. Better consultation and work between the ATO and ASIC in particular is terrific. Being able to have the tax office take security deposits from suspected phoenixing companies, that's another great measure. And having a hotline where if anyone suspects that a company has engaged in or is engaging in phoenixing activity, that can be reported, is also a fantastic initiative. What we would love to see is a bit of resourcing for the regulators to really jump on those reports from the hotline, because one of the frustrations that all in this area have is that we're just not seeing enough really proactive enforcement. So everything that helps get concerning cases in front of the regulators and the regulators taking action is a positive. So we think absolutely it's got to be a package. We just found a note of caution around things like making all directors personally liable for GST payments of their companies, for example, because that's a very broad brush measure that could put people off taking on an important governance role and wouldn't necessarily focus in on catching and punishing those directors that are engaged in phoenixing activity.
I suppose that's one of the big things. You don't want to deter people from being a part of business enterprises. Louise, thanks so much for joining us this morning to explain a little bit about how this whole process does work and what is being done to try and stop it. Seems like it's all relatively straightforward from here on out if things can all come together.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. Look, it's an interesting time. We've had some other positive measures from the government. It's just passed this week an important reform to insolvency law that creates a safe harbour for directors wanting to turn around companies that are in trouble. So it's great to see that they're aiming to get responsible boards working to save entities when they're in financial distress. This is, if you like, the other side of the coin where there is illegal activity. We want to see tougher measures taken against those directors as well. So an important range of reforms that the Parliament's been considering and will consider over the coming months.
Positive steps on both sides. Louise, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks a lot, Phil.